Hi, welcome to Extra Time. I'm John Raymond, the web editor for sport here at the National. I am joined by John Turner, my fellow web editor, and Graham Cagill, our senior sports editor. Thanks for joining me, guys. We're just starting in real quickly. We're talking about tennis and the U.S. Open, which starts tomorrow in New York City. Because it's the first round and because it's as good a place as any to start, there's two matches that I think kind of give us a framing for how we kind of want to look at the U.S. Open in the first couple of days of it, and that's Rafael Nadal playing Borna Koric, the 18-year-old, and Andy Murray playing Nick Kyrgios. So first, just tell me what you guys think of. I think both of you were, you know, interested in the Kyrgios Murray match especially, but I think there's in those two matches it gives us kind of a good sense of the youth and how they're progressing along, and I think will be pretty interesting to observe in the first couple of rounds of the tournament.
I think the interesting thing with Nick Kyrgios is, as I think his problems on the court and off them have been well documented with his interaction with Stan Wawrinka and that unfortunate comment about Stan's alleged girlfriend, Donna Vesic, which led to him being given a fine and a suspended ban, is the fact it actually blights what a good player he is, because he actually beat Stan Wawrinka in that match. Yeah, Wawrinka actually retired hurt, but he was beat. Kyrgios had him beat. And then at Wimbledon, he'd beat Milos Raonic in four sets, and deservedly so. And Milos Raonic being seen one of the next big things. I think with Kyrgios, I think he has the game to be one of the next great tennis player, but he just can't string it together. But it'll be fascinating to see how he does against Andy Murray, especially with his drama, because I think he has got the game to trouble Murray, whether he can do it consistently enough. If he can put it together for three sets, it could be very, very interesting. As he said with Koric, I think, again, he's an exciting young talent coming through. He's shown that he can mix it with the big boys already. He's beaten Nadal once before. He beat Andy Murray here in Dubai in February, which was a very big upset. So I do think they're going to be interesting games for just seeing, you know, where the next generation are with the top stars.
You reckon that Nick Kyrgios can take a set off Andy Murray as well, don't you, Graham?
Yeah, I think if he can hook it together, like there's periods where he goes up and down in matches. Like if you remember his match with Gasquet at Wimbledon, he played some horrible tennis at times and that. But there was other periods when Gasquet could barely live with him. And you just felt if he could have put that together for three sets, he could have done it. But that's his problem in consistency. But I think definitely, given I think as well Murray's coming into it, you know, in the first round, and so Murray might not be fully functioning, I think there is definitely a chance for him to take a set for sure.
I disagree with you there. I think I agree. I think Nick Kyrgios has got a big game, and I think he's got a bright future despite all the antics that have obviously been well documented over the last few weeks. But I think, I mean, Andy Murray is rightly one of the pre-tournament favourites. I think he's going to be too solid. I think he's going to be too strong. His game is in great shape at the minute. He obviously had that semi-final loss to Roger Federer. Was that Cincinnati, am I right in saying?
Yeah, that's right.
And but he looked jaded and tired. He'd just come off the back of a Rogers Cup victory over Novak Djokovic in the final and looked pretty immaculate. So I think it's going to be a pretty routine first round win for Andy Murray, kind of a break in each set over three sets. Absolutely, John, as you were saying, looking at the Borna Koric, Rafa Nadal first round match, that has the potential to be a lot tighter. Whereas Kyrgios and Koric, of course, are the bright young things coming through. Nadal and Murray representing the kind of current dominant forces, despite Nadal being, you know, on the slide with injuries and form and all the rest of it this year. But, you know, there's still a bit of an aura surrounding Rafa Nadal. And I think, yeah, you're right, Borna Koric can certainly upset him. But, I mean, the fight is still in Rafa Nadal. He's starting to rediscover a bit of form. And I think that he'll have just too much for Koric in the first round. But I think it'll be an interesting match.
For me, it's not that Nadal lacks the fight. I don't think he's ever lacked the fight. I don't think he ever will lack the fight. I think physically he's just not able to get to that peak form as much as he used to. And I think I think he'll just possibly be outran a little bit by Koric. You know, an 18-year-old kid, and he has beaten him before. And, you know, I might be wrong. I mean, Koric might go down in straight sets and I'll look like an idiot. But I sense vulnerability from Nadal. He did some interviews earlier this week where he was talking almost with resignation, you would call it, to his kind of diminished physicality. And I just see it maybe as this being the final tournament where we we don't consider him a contender for Grand Slam titles anymore. I don't know if we should keep continuing to put him in this same conversation with Federer and Djokovic and Murray, who, like you, I don't see him having any problem with Nick Kyrgios, just as an aside. But I don't know that Nadal belongs with them anymore until he shows that he has the physical endurance to last weeks and months at the peak of his game.
So do you reckon that Coric will win this match?
I do, and he might lose. I'm not super confident about that. I don't think Nadal's going to go that far in the tournament. Whether it's Coric or whether it's, you know, a couple rounds later, I think he's very vulnerable. I think on this surface and in that weather, New York summer, it doesn't feel like the conditions for him to have a long run. It seems like he needs, you know, French Open kind of conditions or just stuff that suits him almost pretty specifically at this point in his career.
I think the thing that most worried me about Nadal was when the hard court season was starting and he went back to Europe to go and play in a clay court tournament to try and find his confidence back. I think that was the most alarming aspect. I think with Nadal, obviously, he's lost some of the power. He's lost a little bit of his speed and that, but he can still compete. And the fact he is still in the top 10 means he hasn't dropped off the radar completely. He still is a competitor. I think what he almost needs to do is look at what Roger Federer has done, because Roger Federer, I think most of us here would have written him off at the end of 2013 when he was really, really struggling. He had a horrible year. And yes, he hasn't won a major since then, but he's kind of revitalized his game a bit. He got a new coach in Stefan Edberg, got some advice, you know, really changed his game. And you can see the results here. He's deservedly up at number two in the world at the moment. And in my opinion, is probably the player most in form going into the US Open. So if Federer can turn it around, Nadal's been the other great player of that recent generation. I think Rafa just needs to take some time out and rethink his game and maybe his strategy a little bit.
Let's look forward past the next couple of days and toward the end of the tournament. And I think we all kind of have a general sense of who we think should win. I don't think any of us are really out there in terms of thinking Marin Cilic or someone is going to repeat as the champion this year. But this was the most open, as it turned out, of the Grand Slam tournaments last year, with Cilic prevailing over Kei Nishikori in the final. If we're in store for another kind of unpredictable tournament like that, who do you guys see being in that Nishikori or Cilic position?
I'm going to be really boring, John, and I'm going back to the world number one, Novak Djokovic. I mean, we were kind of discussing before recording about his form kind of going into the tournament. You know, he lost two Masters finals, which is kind of unheard of for Djokovic, and really looked kind of out of sorts. But I mean, there's something about Novak Djokovic. He's obviously an exceptional player, but he's got an incredible ability to just make his opponents ordinary at the most important times. He's great at swinging momentum in his favour when everything looks like it's going against him. I mean, he can be down, as we saw at Wimbledon against Kevin Anderson, two sets and, you know, completely out of the match. And then out of nowhere, he's won it. And you can't quite put your finger on how he's done it. So I just think, fine, there might be some concerns after his losses in the Masters, but they were best of three. Going best of five, I just think there's too much about Djokovic for anyone to really trouble him. When it gets to the latter stages of the quarters, semis, and presumably I think he'll be in the final as well. So for me, it's the Serbian world number one that's going to be the man with the trophy at the end of it.
I really like how Federer's been playing in the build-up. Obviously, we've been just talking about this and the fact he beat Djokovic in Cincinnati. And I think he's definitely the guy in most form, and you think he's only lost one game out of his last 17, and that was against Djokovic in the Wimbledon final. And I think that probably is the caveat with the issue here, is whether he can do it over five sets against Djokovic. Because if you remember in the Wimbledon final, he probably played the better tennis in the first two sets, but he didn't get the job done. Djokovic's resilience ensured that he won one of the tie breaks. And Federer, I don't think it would be fair to say he ran out of gas. There was never anything, but he just couldn't live with Djokovic. And Djokovic's energy and endurance is remarkable. I think last season, as you said, it was a very unpredictable one. I think Federer's a much stronger player. I think he's worked in his serve so much now that he's building pressure up. He's getting very, very hard to break again. And it's a fantastic serve because it's not the most powerful on the court, far from it. But it's just probably is the most accurate and consistent. So I think if he can keep that up and get to the final and presumably face Djokovic, I think he's got a very good chance, but he has to do it in three. He has to start well and, you know, not let up against him. That's been his mistake in the past two Wimbledon finals against him, and he's had his last two chances. But I really like Federer's chances of an 18th slam.
I'm with John on this one, at the risk of making, you know, making things overcomplicated. All things being equal, Djokovic just tends to win these tournaments. And it's like John was saying, sometimes you can't even really put your finger on why. I think just he's more consistently at or near his best. You know, like someone like Kevin Anderson's a perfect example, a great player who can be up two sets to none against a player like Djokovic and just not, you know, he can't maintain. I mean, he was nearly perfect at his absolute peak for those first two games. And it's just hard to keep that up. And Djokovic seems to be, for whatever reason, a physical kind of talent that can maintain his best more consistently and longer than his peers. I want to think someone like Nishikori could break through, or a Grigor Dimitrov type of guy, or maybe even like a Thomas Burdick or David Ferrer, who, you know, it would be cool to see one of those guys win a Grand Slam final. But I feel like last year there was more momentum for guys like Nishikori and Dimitrov in the run-up to the tournament, and if, you know, maybe momentum is kind of an overrated factor, but I just don't see anyone that I would pinpoint as a true challenge to Federer or Murray or Djokovic from the field, the way that I kind of thought it might, you know, work out last year. I don't know. Do you guys have anyone else to watch or anything else to keep an eye on?
I think you already mentioned him, but he's got such a good game for hard courts. He should be a player, is Grigor Dimitrov. I know he's had some off-court issues recently with the breakup of his relationship with Maria Sharapova, but again, he's the kind of player, he's like a more established version of Kyrgios. When he's absolutely on it, he is actually almost unplayable, as Andy Murray discovered last year, and he should be capable of having a strong run here. He showed last year that he was a potential world number one, and that's in different 12 months, and he really needs to start producing, and I hope he does something like that in Flushing Meadows.
All right, and then at the risk of us sounding like we've ignored the women's game, I promise we're not going to do that, but Serena Williams, there's just not a lot to say. You know, she's the best. And I don't see anyone having a real chance of beating her. This is for the calendar Grand Slam. She's, you know, been winning tournaments all year. She's been at her peak almost the entire time, even though, you know, it seems like anytime she's not just destroying an opponent, it seems like something's wrong with her. But she's the best. I don't know. Do you guys see any reason that this will be much of an interesting women's tournament?
In a word, no. I think I just think as you said, there's just no one that can touch her in terms of ability, in terms of power. In the past, there might have been a few question marks over maybe her focus or motivation. But as you said, there's you know, she's got so much to play for now. Another slice of history that she's creating for herself. I mean, there's no one out there. I mean, Petra Kvitova looked pretty impressive last night, winning the New Haven tournament. And on her way there, I think she beat Madison Keys, Caroline Wozniacki, and then Lucy Safarova in the final. So she's got form, and she's got the kind of power to mix it with Serena. But I mean, personally, I just think I'm clutching at straws here. And yeah, I think Serena Williams is going to have a pretty routine US Open, and complete the calendar Grand Slam.
I think she's more fallible than we're actually giving credit for here. In that, if you remember at Wimbledon, I think in every slam she does throw in a wobbly performance once in a while. Like at Wimbledon, if Heather Watson had held her nerve, she'd have knocked her out in the third round, the holding serve. And I think where we come back to the fact there's no one that can step up to her was when at the French Open, when she was really ill, struggling with a stomach bug, and visibly looked like she was struggling on court, and no one could do her. Like, Lucy Safarova will never have a better chance to win a Grand Slam as she did in that French Open final, and she couldn't get the job done. So it's kind of a difficult one because of the fact, like, you know, it's going to be a tremendous achievement and you can only beat what's in front of you. But it does have to be said that right now it's not very much. And I think I can't see anyone stopping Serena apart from herself personally.
All right. Well, that's that. Men's Open, some intrigue, some uncertainty. Women's Open, Serena's awesome. There's just not a lot to say there. This has been, again, I'm John Raymond, web editor for The National. You can find the podcast on the National Sport Twitter account, NatSportUAE, or the National Multimedia Twitter account at NSV UAE. This has been produced by Marwan Al-Hamadi and the National Multimedia Desk. Thanks for listening.